Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and joining me on my left for today's weekly wrap-up, unfortunately, is not my Lancashire co-host. Joe Nutsy Nuttall is a bit busy with university work today, but everyone's favourite Lancashire co-host will be back for next week's show. But instead of Joe for today, I'm instead joined by a former guest here on TCCP, Alex Davis. So, Alex, first things first, mate, thank you very much for coming back onto the County Cricket Podcast. How's your day been so far, mate?
Yeah, not been a bad day. Finished work a bit early and just, yeah, getting right in the mood, ready for cricket to kick off properly tomorrow in the freezing weather, which I'm sure they're all looking forward to.
Yeah, it has been incredibly cold, hasn't it? For those outside of the UK, you may not have realised this. We've had snow. Alex, did you have snow down in the south this week?
We had a few flakes. So I'm down in London, had a couple of flakes, nothing settled. Nothing like the scenes that I'm sure everyone's seen up in Durham. Yeah. On Twitter. It's impressive that they were training out there. So it's definitely not a place to go for an early away day in April.
Yeah, absolutely Baltic out there. It looked like they're playing in the Arctic Circle, playing some snow cricket. Ridiculous. And if you haven't already seen that on Twitter, thoroughly, thoroughly recommend it. But of course, today we are on the verge of starting the 2021 County Championship. I think everybody is absolutely ecstatic for the season to start. I know I am. Alex, I'm guessing, as a Hampshire fan as well. Exciting times down on the South Coast. Should be a fantastic season in Group 2. But before we get into today's preview of the 2021 County Championship, we do actually just have a little bit of county news. Not much has been going on this week, of course. A lot of business has preceded the season. But we'll start down at Surrey. We'll start the Oval, because Sean Abbott has signed for Surrey for three County Championship matches between May and July, and has also signed for the Brown Caps for the entirety of the 2021 T20 Blast campaign. So, Alex, I know that we spoke a bit before the podcast about Sean Abbott. I know that you're a pretty big fan of this guy. What do you make of this signing from the London team?
I think it's a very good signing. It's good when you get your overseas player, or whichever one you get, it's important. I think they can do a bit of both. And he's had an incredible, Australian summer. Mm-hmm. He's been scoring a lot of runs and taking a lot of wickets across lots of formats. So, yeah, it'd be exciting to see him play over here. And I think it's a very good signing.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that, Alex. And of course, he was meant to play for Derbyshire last season. Unfortunately, as a result of the pandemic, that did fall through. But Surrey have gone absolute gun on their hands there. Sean Abbott, incredibly quick. I think everybody knows him for the Big Bash, in particular for the Sydney Sixers, been an integral part of their tournament winning side for 2020 and, of course, 2021. And you mentioned there about his Australian summer. He has been absolutely brilliant. And looking at his first-class cricket record, he's taken 163 wickets and in 62 matches has also scored 1,808 runs. So he's pretty handy with the bat. That's going to be massive for Surrey as the County Championship draws, to an end of its first stage. So, yeah, I quite like that personally from a Surrey perspective. And, of course, alongside Kemal Roach, those two could be a dynamic duo, to say the least, alongside the likes of Jamie Overton, Conor McCurr. It just continues to grow at Surrey, doesn't it? They've got a fantastic, fantastic scene battery. But aside from Surrey, let's go to contract extensions. Again, not much has happened this week in the county circuit. I think every single team is instead gearing for the season to start. But for the Denley meme team, some fantastic news. The Facebook rumours were not true. Joe Denley is not moving to Surrey for the 2021 County Championship because he has instead signed a two-year contract extension down at Kent, which will keep him in Canterbury until at least 2023. So for the Denley meme team, big news, of course. Joe Denley is going absolutely nowhere. And for Kent fans as well, I think we're all glad to see Denley back at Canterbury. He's part and parcel of the Kent furniture, isn't he, Alex? He's a stalwart.
I think, yeah, he's been there for a seriously long time. And I think that having a player of his quality and the experience that he's had being in and out of the England scene over the last couple of years, he didn't quite get the runs he wanted to at international level, but he didn't look horrifically out of place in most of his innings. And I think with Kent's got quite a lot of good young up-and-coming batsmen around. And so to have someone like Denley around locked in for the next 2 or 3 years, that's just going to help all their young guys. And it's a nice base for them to build their batting order around. So I think it's good for Denley. And obviously I think that'll help Kent improve a lot going forward with the young guys coming through with him.
That's a great point. That's a wonderful point. Of course, they have got some fantastic young batsmen. Jordan Cox, who had that fantastic partnership, didn't he, last season in the Bob Willis Trophy, alongside Jack Leaning. Of course, Zach Crawley missed the 267 against Pakistan in 2020. But yeah, I mean, Kent, they have got some fantastic, fantastic young talent. And of course, Joe Dinley will be a pivotal anchor in that Kent batting lineup for the foreseeable future. And just before we go on to today's preview of the County Championship, quite a bit of news up at Headingley. I mean, we're not going to go into tremendous depth, but Harry Brook, Ben Code, Matt Fisher, Will Frayne, Tom Lowton, Duane Olivier and Johnny Tattersall have all signed contract extensions with the White Rose. So as I said, we're not going to go into tremendous detail, but Alex, what do you make of those contract extensions? I mean, Matthew Fisher, fantastic young talent, really is great young seamer. Duane Olivier, the fiery seamer, the enforcer up at Headingley. What do you make of those particular pieces of business from the northern side?
I think, again, it's just fantastic work for them to keep so many people on board. They've got a really strong squad, and it's the people that you've listed, there's a lot of young guys, a lot of young talent coming through. Like Matt Fisher's a very exciting prospect. Mm-hmm. One guy that I quite like, Ben Code. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2 years ago when he seemed to start the championship with a fifer in every single innings. And he's impressed me a lot the last couple of years. So he's a very good county player, you feel. And he might, in the next couple of years, because he's still got a bit of time on his side, might try and push for further further honours. But with people like him based around, and then add the young guys in like Fisher and the others that you mentioned, then that's looking well. Yorkshire are never going to have a weak team, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But strong base for them to keep going on from there.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned Ben Code, because he does not get enough recognition at all. He really doesn't. I know exactly what you talk about. Start 2019, he just skyrocketed. He was right up there towards the top. It did unfortunately peter out slightly. I think he ended up getting about 36, 37 wickets in that season in Division 1 for Yorkshire. But he's a great, great seamer. Really is. Mr. Consistent up at Headingley. And yeah, fingers crossed, of course, for Yorkshire fans. All of those guys can stay fit for the foreseeable future. And maybe, who knows, could potentially challenge for some silverware at some point in the next few years. But that's enough from the county news, because that's pretty much it from this week. Not much has been going on, unfortunately, at each of the 18 counties. But I digress, because today, of course, we do have the preview for the 2021 County Championship. If you can't already tell from my voice, and of course Alex's, it's incredibly exciting. It really is, I think, for those who've listened to the podcast for a long time. Both myself and Joe, we love the County Championship. It is a tradition of British sport. It's as simple as that. It's part and parcel of UK sporting culture. And to have it back in 2021 in its glory, fair enough, it is a different structure, but just to have it back is so, so important. And we cannot wait for the season to begin tomorrow. But without further ado, of course, let's go through each of the groups, because it is slightly different. For those who don't know, as opposed to the traditional two-division format, which we've been used to over the past few years, in 2021, we will have a three-group format. And again, it will get confusing. Apologies for those out there who don't quite understand just yet. But basically, we have three groups of six, and then the top two from each of those groups go through to Division One. The third and fourth ranked teams go through to Division Two, and then the second lowest and lowest ranked teams go through to Division Three, with the top two teams finishing in Division One going on to play in the Bob Willis Trophy final. As I said, it does sound a bit confusing. Don't let it get to your head too much. It will make more sense as the season actually progresses. But without further ado then, Alex, let's talk about Group 1. My county's group, Warwickshire's, because in Group 1 we have Derbyshire, Durham, Essex, Nottinghamshire, Warwickshire and Worcestershire. Now, of course, I have plenty to talk about with regards to this group, seeing as my team are present. But Alex, I'll start with you. Who would you say are the standout batsmen in Group 1 heading into this season's County Championship?
Well, I think the standout batsmen are likely to come from the standout county in Group 1. You look at the top order that Essex are going into again with this year, like, it's hard to look past someone like Alistair Cook to be around for another whole summer. People that I'm really looking forward to watching at Essex this year, it's their young right-handers, so Wesley and Lawrence. Obviously, Lawrence, I was impressed by him in parts when he was out on the Sri Lanka and India tours, so he had a couple of nice innings there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, didn't score as many runs across the whole thing as he would have liked to, but then no England batsman did, especially towards the end of that tour. So I don't think he came away with anything particularly negative against his name, but having a strong start to the county season will be crucial for him as he looks to press on and really nail down a spot. There are spots to be nailed down in the England lineup. So I think early on, runs from him and potentially Wesley up top to go with the runs that we know Cook's going to score, which is Essex are pretty inevitable. pretty inevitable team, I think, at the top. One of the other top orders that I think should be hopefully quite exciting this year will be Nottinghamshire. They've got a lot of people who are digging around, sort of second chance people. They've been to a couple of counties before. They've been in Nottinghamshire for a little while. So guys like Hamid, Duckett, Joe Clark, they're all these people that they're young people who some of them had a taste of international experience so far, and some of them have done well. And they've definitely all still got time to push on. And on paper, they've definitely got the talent to be a really strong team. It's been a little while since Nottinghamshire have done anything in four-day cricket. It's been, it'll be in a couple of months, it'll be 3 years since they've had a win. So hopefully for them, for all their fans, they do manage to pick up a win early doors, because that's not a record that you want to extend. And I think they've got definitely got a lot of potential at the top of the order there with those openers, three, fours that they've got there. There's definitely a lot of talent in their order. It's just where they can all bring it together.
Great, great point, Alex. And of course, for Notts fans, they'll be hoping that they can finally break the duck, because, as you rightfully said, 2018, and funnily enough, the last team that they beat was Essex. So who knows? Yeah. Maybe in the return fixture this season, we could see a Notts win. Who knows? Of course, Notts fans will be keeping their fingers crossed that they can finally break the hoodoo, because it's been far too long since they've had a Red Bull cricket victory. But in terms of my standout batsmen, you've already mentioned one of them, Sir Alistair Cook. I mean, it's Cookie. He always seems to be in the runs. He's a master, isn't he? He really is. He's the fifth leading run scorer in Test match history. County cricket to him almost seems like a breeze, and he's always up there as one of the top run scorers in every single season. And then, of course, being a Warwickshire fan, I think this is going to be a tremendously, tremendously, what to say, important tournament, actually. I think this is going to be an important tournament for Will Rhodes. Of course, this is now his second year as captain. Had a fantastic Bob Willis Trophy, really characterised by a brilliant 207 against Worcestershire at New Road. And in the absence of Dom Sibley, who more than likely than not is going to be playing for England in the New Zealand and India series, he really does need to step up to the plate and deliver the bulk of the runs, I think, for Warwickshire, who have a relatively young batting core. So I've gone with Will Rhodes as my second one. And then in terms of a third one, I think I'd go Haseeb Hameed. I really like Haseeb Hameed. Great, great batsman. Really gritty, resolute. Seems to have found a bit of form now back at Notts as opposed to his time at Lancashire. So for me personally, he would be my third one. I think he could have a very, very good season for the Midlands side. But moving aside from batsmen then, let's go on to your bowlers then, Alex. Who do you think are the standout bowlers in Group 1 this season?
So I think it would be easy just to talk about the battery of bowlers that Essex have. Everyone knows they're going to come with a very strong bowling lineup. So I'm going to move to a county that doesn't get as much press, but actually was probably one of my favourite counties in the Bob Willis Trophy last year, which was Derbyshire, because they turned up out of every... Derbyshire, they've been improving in Red Bull cricket, and last year was definitely sort of, hopefully not the pinnacle of them, but they still went on. They continued to improve last year, and they've signed Big Billy Stanlake for this year, who I'm a fan of. I like big, tall, fast bowlers who run in and just bowl quick. And I don't think there's enough of them. Well, England could definitely do producing a few more. We have the last couple of years. And I think it's always exciting when, as a young cricket fan or as anyone who's getting into the game, the most exciting thing is when you see someone just running in and bowling absolute gas. And hopefully he'll be able to do that a bit for Derbyshire. And another guy at Derbyshire, slightly slower bowler, all-rounder Matt Critchley, bowling a bit of leg spin, which is another... He had a very impressive 2020 as well. And hopefully he'll be able to kick on from that, because as we've seen with the England tour to India, it's always nice to have a nice plentiful option of spinners. And he impressed me in 2020, as did all of Derbyshire. I think if they can... I think they're going to... They'll probably struggle compared to some of the other names in the group, but they've definitely got potential with a couple of the fast bowlers, a couple of the bowlers that they've got. And I think that's hopefully could be another upside for them as they look to improve again this year. Moving on, I think someone I'm looking forward to seeing over here for a bit of the year is Alzaro Joseph for Worcestershire. So I've got a soft spot for Worcestershire, mainly because it's just such a pretty ground. And got a bit of family from around there, so they're one of my favourite teams. I think seeing him turn out for Worcestershire will be definitely a good prospect. I enjoyed watching him last summer when he came over with the West Indies. And it's another good opportunity for a youngish fast bowler to come and make a real impact for a team who they always bat above their average, I feel, Worcestershire. And so hopefully this year, with a signing like him, they'll be able to hopefully do a bit of damage and maybe treble Essex every now and then.
Oh, be interesting, won't it? And that's the thing with this new structure. Who knows? We could see some giant killings in this year's tournament. We've got plenty of teams that have not actually played each other for years. So who knows? We could see that. But in terms of my standouts, I have gone a bit cliche for my first one. I've gone Simon Harmer. I mean, every single season, the guy just tears through opposition batting lineups. Leading wicket taker last season in the Bobolish Trophy, leading wicket taker in the 2019 County Championship. He's always in the wickets. He really is.
Inevitable leading wicket taker in the 2021 tournament as well, I'm sure.
To be fair, he probably will be. Like, that's how it's probably going to pan out. And Essex, of course, do have a tremendously strong, not just batting lineup, of course, but bowling attack, supplemented by the likes of Jamie Porter, Sam Cook, Aaron Beard, Matt Quinn. And it's preposterous, isn't it? The depth of Essex's team heading into 2021. I loved the shout of Derbyshire. I absolutely love that, Alex, because I've also gone for a Derbyshire bowler. I've gone slightly different, though. Okay, I have actually gone Finn Hudson-Prentice. I think this is going to be an interesting season for him, because you mentioned last season they're very impressive. In 2020, there's one game in particular at Trent Bridge, and his partnership with Laird's Deploy, I think, really laid the foundation for Derbyshire to maybe go on to the next level of Red Bull cricket. In terms of his Red Bull bowling numbers, I don't think they're where he would want them to be. But in 2021, if he gets some runs on the board, he could really, really use that as a platform to get some more wickets this season. And I like Finn. He's a great, great all-rounder. And complemented by the likes of Billy Stanlake, Michael Kerr, Ben Aitchison, Dustin Melton potentially as well, Matt Critchley there with the spin, Anuj Dahl. Yeah, it's an interesting year, I think, for Derbyshire. They could be almost a dark horse to watch out for, not in terms of title contenders outright, but I think they could definitely produce some upsets in this season.
I agree. I think the second spot in this group is wide open. I think there's a chance that Essex might not win it, but there's obviously Essex going into this as heavy odds on favourites. This is one of the reasons why I quite like this format. Mm. I think it's nice that you have your tradition of your two divisions, but for every now and then, and I feel like last year and this year has given us a nice opportunity to have changed formats. And it's as you said earlier, we've got different counties playing people, and every match of this first 10 means something. Like, true. Every match is vital. Like, we look when we got to the final round of the Bob Willis Trophy last year, or the final round, there was umpteen teams that could have made it through to the right up until the last minute. And I feel with now we're going to have two spots going into that top tier. It's definitely wide open. All it takes is a couple of shock results and a bit of rain, a bit of snow early doors. It's out on a few points and it could be wide open.
Very, very true. Hopefully not too much snow. I mean, we don't want to miss too much cricket this season after, well, what was 2020, the shortened season. But yeah, who knows? It's a very, very good point, Alex. And in terms of the other stand-up bowlers, I've gone a bit cliche, of course, Warwickshire, Ollie Stone. If he does get to play, Ollie Stone is just brilliant, fast, terrifying prospect for opposition batsmen to face. I think that if he gets some game time, he'll be very, very good. Also, Ollie Hannon-Dalby always seems to go under the radar. And actually, in the past two seasons, he has been Warwickshire's leading wicket taker above Jeetan Patel. So I think he's going to have another good season for the Bear and Ragged staff. And then finally, in a bit of the same vein as Ben Coates, someone who has gone completely under the radar, I think, at times, I'm going Chris Rushworth. I think that this season for Durham, he is going to be the spearhead. They're a team in transition. I think they've been pretty much like that ever since the end of 2016, 2017. Well, with those financial complications and the ECB bailout. But I think this year, Chris Rushworth against Division One opposition, he's going to be absolutely champing at the bit. This is someone who some people have gone, oh, well, he's only playing Division Two batsmen. Well, in 2021, he's playing Division One. He's playing Warwickshire. He's playing Notts, who were in Division One in 2019. And then, of course, the holders, Essex. So I think Chris Rushworth is definitely someone to watch out for in 2021. So before we go on to our group predictions then, Alex, just one young player who you'd like to watch out for this season or would recommend for the listeners out there. Who would you say is a young player to watch out for in Group 1 in 2021?
So I quite like the look of Zach Chappell at Nottinghamshire. I think he's going to hopefully build on a strong start so far. And he's got plenty of people he can learn from. Like, if he can get a chance to have a bowl with someone like Stuart Broad early season, then imagine the experience that's going to be and what you can learn by bowling in partnership with people who've had that yeah, that knowledge and what you can bring on and bring to the team together. So I like the look of him. Hopefully, with a few runs provided by Nottinghamshire, it'll help them go forward. And yeah, I'll be optimistic about his approach and yeah, Nottinghamshire as a whole this season.
Interesting call. Of course, we will find out as the season progresses. But Zach Chappell, good shout there, Alex. In terms of my one, I have been a bit biased. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I've gone Rob Yates. I like Rob Yates. Great, great young batsman. I think he's around 19, 20 years of age from the Midlands County of Warwickshire. In 2019, he really did have his moments. He's a very composed, assured and very resolute batsman. And I think if Warwickshire needs someone at that number three position, when Sibley goes, for example, if Rhodes gets out early, Milan gets out early, if he does come over after his visa complications, I think this will be a massive, massive season for Rob Yates to really mature and develop his game. So I've gone Rob Yates. And then in terms of an honourable mention from Derbyshire, I've gone Michael Cohen, 22-year-old South African seamer. I think he could have a very, very good campaign for the Falcons in 2021. But yeah, that does bring us to an end to our kind of analysis part of Group 1. But of course, we do have the group predictions. And for those who don't know, in terms of the actual fixtures as well, the fixtures for tomorrow are Essex versus Worcestershire at Chelmsford, Notts take on Dermot Trent Bridge, and then last but by no means least, Warwickshire take on Derbyshire at Edgbaston. So looking at that group on paper, Alex, who do you think is going to win Group 1? I think there's one obvious team, but do you reckon any of the others could potentially challenge this season?
I think everyone could be challenged this season. It's been, you never know at the start of the year how teams are going to be and how teams are going to prepare. And England call-ups could affect them in the later rounds. I think it's going to be important to get off to a fast start because we've got the Test series against New Zealand coming up. It's that start of June or so when they'll be missing for that. And there's talk of rotation in and out as we want to keep England players fresh. I think Essex might be slightly hampered by that if they lose someone like Lawrence, if he gets taken away. But I can't look past Essex to take the top spot coming in here. I quite like Worcestershire. I think they've got a lot of potential in their players. Azara Joseph, good. Got a lot of young batsmen coming through. But I think the second spot is wide open. I think Warwickshire have made some good moves. Nottinghamshire, if everything clicks, Nottinghamshire are a very strong side on paper. But as we know, it hasn't clicked for them in Red Bull cricket for a couple of years, but that can't carry on forever. So if I had to stick my neck out, I'd probably lean towards Essex and then maybe Worcestershire, but I think that second spot could go anywhere.
I think so. Everyone could be in agreement with the top spot. I'm going to be honest, Essex. The Eagles and Somerset are the favourites, I suppose, for this year's tournament. And of course, the Bob Willis Trophy that follows. But in terms of that second spot, of course, I am going to be a bit biased. I'm going to say Warwickshire. Maybe it's fanciful thinking for all the listeners out there. Please feel free to disagree with me, but I will go with the Bears finishing second. But as you said, Group 1 has the potential to be an incredibly competitive group. It really does, because in this tournament, even Derbyshire or Durham, they could potentially challenge. And of course, only time will tell as to whether or not they do in 2021. But I'll go Essex finishing top with the Bear and Ragged Staff finishing second. But moving on from Group 1, we go to Group 2, something that myself and Joe have spoken about a lot here on the County Cricket Podcast, the Group of Death, as we have labelled it here on TCCP. For those who don't know Group 2, we've got Gloucestershire, Hampshire, Leicestershire, Middlesex, Somerset and Surrey taking each other on, with the opening fixtures tomorrow consisting of Gloucestershire versus Surrey in Bristol, Middlesex taking on Somerset at Lords, and finally Leicestershire taking on Hampshire at Grace Road. So on paper then, Alex, who do you say are the standout batsmen from Group 2? There's plenty to choose from. I know we're going to miss some out, but who would you say really takes your pick in the Group 2 in 2021?
So I think there's a couple of batting lineups that just scream strength straight away. So Surrey's potential top four or five is unbelievably strong. You've got Burns and Stoneman who can open up, both had England strong, where Burns still up there at the top of England order. Stoneman's been there and done it a little bit. And then to add in guys like Hashim Amla after that, you can't really look past that as a potential top three in county cricket. Obviously, Amla's had success over in England internationally and for Surrey for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely one to really pick out. Going back to moving on to my team, Hampshire. I'm optimistic about batting returns this year because we've got, well, people coming at the top of the order who have been showing signs of improving in recent years. So hopefully if Weatherly and Holland can score a few runs, but the real strength, Hampshire, will come in that middle order this year because robbed last summer of Vince and Dawson for the majority of it. But if you, a trio of Dawson, Vince and Northeast is a very strong county, three county batsmen. So if two of them can have a strong season, then I think Hampshire will be able to challenge. In terms of one standout batsman that I'm really looking forward to hopefully scoring some runs this summer, I'd look at Lamonby down at Somerset because he was one of the standout performers last year in 2020, scored plenty of runs and scored plenty of runs at big moments as well, which is a very good trait to have in a young batsman. And if he gets I assume he'll get a full season up at the top of the order there for Somerset, and that's going to be a good place for him to learn his trade and really push on from what was a very impressive 2020. So I think, batting, I don't think batting will be a weakness in Group 2 for a lot of these counties, despite the of bowlers that we're about to talk about as well.
I know, that's the thing, isn't it, with Group 2? There is so much star talent. There really is. And you mentioned there Tom Lamonby, the name on everybody's lips, I think, after an incredibly impressive 2020 season in which he scored 459 runs, an average of 51. And you mentioned there about scoring runs at key intervals and key times. Of course, scored a century in the final, but not a lot of people remember the fact that he also scored a century against Worcestershire, the game before that got them there. He really, really saved Somerset's season almost single-handedly down at New Road. So for me, Tom Lamonby, of course, he's up there. He really is up there. He is an incredible talent. Definitely keep an eye out for him this season. And then in terms of other standout batsmen, of course, James Vince from your county of Hampshire, Alex. I think everyone wants to see that cover drive. Simple as that. We missed it in 2020. But a James Vince cover drive in 2021 is exactly what the doctor ordered. And then in terms of other standout batsmen, of course, Surrey. You can go through their top four, as you've rightfully said. Somerset with Tom Abel. Incredibly impressive captain, leader, batsman as well. And in terms of one final one that I've gone with, I've gone Sam Robson from Middlesex. Again, someone who I don't think gets enough plaudits, but did used to play for England. So a bit like Mark Stoneman in some kind of sense. Very, very good county batsman. Always, always on the money for the Saxes. So I think Sam Robson will also be a standout batsman heading into this year's county championship. And then in terms of bowlers, Alex, I think this is probably harder because I look at each of the seam attacks, and I mean each and every single one in Group 2, and there are some absolute superstars. There really are. Who would you say your standout bowlers in Group 2 this season?
It's very tough to pick standout bowlers, isn't it? I think because I'm about to talk with great praise about the potential opening bowling attack for Hampshire, because you look at Abbotton Abbas, it's scary. Like, you've got Abbas, who we saw him come to England last summer, and he just bowled, didn't take as many wickets as he wanted to, but he's taken plenty of wickets in county cricket before. And somebody like him bowling at that 78, 81 sort of mark, it just nibbling it around on a slightly green wicket, and then you match him up with Abbott at the other end, just sending down thunderbolts. That's going to be a scary lineup for people to face. One lineup that I'm looking forward to will be Middlesex's this year, because they've got a lot of people who've been around for quite a few years, mixed in with some really young guys, and someone that will hopefully have a full 2021 is Toby Rowland-Jones, because he was breaking into the England team 3 or 4 years ago and was being touted as the next big thing. And he'd delivered at Middlesex when they won the title, and he'd been a consistent county four and he deservedly got his shot. And then he's just been cruelly struck down with a few injuries recently. So hopefully if he can have a strong 2021, and then you add in some of the other older experienced performers like Murta and Finn, and then you chuck in some of the young people like Helm at Middlesex, there's definitely a lot of potential for them to have a strong bowling lineup. Moving on to spin, excited to see Verdi at Surrey. Hopefully, he didn't get a chance to do anything out in Sri Lanka, India, which I don't think people were expecting him to get a go out there, but it must have been, hopefully it's been really good for his confidence to be included on that tour, and hopefully have learned a lot from interacting with the England and the Indian Sri Lankan players out there. So it'll be exciting to see what he's he can bring back from that and how he's developed, because he's a very exciting young talent, and he's had some strong Red Bull form lately, so hopefully he can continue that in this year.
Oh, of course, yeah. And when you mention the name Amar Verdi, I think back to 2019, and he had one of the most incredible battles of off-spin against Ravi Chandran Ashwin at Trent Bridge. And Verdi took 14 and Ashwin took 12. It was absolutely blockbuster stuff in Nottingham. It really was. So I completely agree, Alex. I really do. I think that Amar Verdi is definitely someone to watch out for, in addition to his partner Dan Moriarty. I think they could be interesting as a spin duo, potentially, at some point this summer for Surrey. But in terms of the rest of that group, there are just so many seamers in particular. We haven't really touched upon Somerset, but the dynamic duo of Craig Overton and Josh Davey, I think this season, are going to be absolutely lethal. They're going to be lethal. It's as simple as that. And when you complement them with the likes of Lewis Gregory, new signing Marchant Delanger, who's going to add that little bit of extra zip and pace into any surface, Somerset, again, look ridiculously strong. They really, really do. So again, Somerset have a great seam battery. You mentioned Middlesex again, and someone in a slightly similar vein to Toby Rowland-Jones is Stephen Finn. I think he'll also have a pretty good season alongside Tim Murch, of course, down the slope at Lords. It'll be interesting to see how Group 2 batsmen try and combat that. And then, of course, Hampshire. It's the one that myself and Joe have been talking about so often here on the podcast. Kyle Abbott and a Bass with a new ball. In terms of your change bowler, you've got Keith Barker. You've got Mason Crane and Ian Holland. It's absolutely incredible. It really is. Hampshire's bowling attack this season is incredibly strong. And in terms of just one final bowler, just to throw in a little bit of Gloucestershire in there, I've gone David Payne. I think, again, someone who goes slightly under the radar, never puts a foot wrong for Gloucestershire. I think he could also have a very, very good season down in the southwest. But Alex, we mentioned quite a few young players to watch out for. Mentioned Verdi, mentioned Lamondby. Do you think there's any more young players or young talent that Group 2 fans should be on the lookout for in 2021?
So I've got a couple of names here. We haven't really talked about Gloucestershire enough lately. So one guy who's not necessarily like a young guy, but he's still learning. So James Bracey. I feel he was unfortunate in 2020 not to play more with his involvement in the England bubble, mm-hmm. having had a strong start to his career so far. And he's played plenty of games, but I'd still class him as a young player. And he's one which I think there's definitely England honours on the future for him. So it'd be interesting, it'd be good to see him have a full summer after what was an interrupted go out for him last year. And then going back to, there's plenty of young seam bowling talent coming through at Hampshire. So listed in the team for tomorrow, we've got Curry. So he got one game last year in his debut, took a couple of wickets, scored a few runs, batting low down the order. Add him into people like Ajit Dale, Tom Scriven. There's a couple of young all-rounders coming through at Hampshire who should be able to learn from the fast bowlers that they've got there already. And that should make for an exciting future, hopefully, as they can rely on a few more homegrown talent in the coming years, as opposed to, the very good overseas players that they've got, which I'm sure it's nice to have a mix.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. And of course, we'll be interesting down on the South Coast this season with all of those youngsters coming through. In terms of more young players to watch out for, we mentioned Lamondby. I was going to mention him and, of course, Amar Verdi. I've gone Tilan Wola-Wita. I really like Tilan from Middlesex. Good young spinner. Had a fantastic 2020 for the London club. And as long as there is just a little bit in the surface for him this season, I think he's going to have another stellar campaign. I really, really do. So keep an eye out for Tilan. And then from Leicestershire, someone who myself and Joe mention a lot is Ben Mike. I think he could have an interesting season. Good all-rounder. Alex, you may remember in 2019, Ben came on loan to Warwickshire and produced a fantastic, I think it was about 72, down at the Rose Bowl. Pretty much saved our season, him and Sam Hain. So I'll always remember Ben Mike for that. So I think he is another one who could have a very good season, alongside the likes of a Max Holden, for example, and a Miles Hammond for Gloucestershire. I think they're another couple of names to watch out for this season. But in terms of the top two, I mean, I'll start, Alex. I'm going Somerset and Hampshire. That's what I'm going for. I think Surrey versus Hampshire is going to be very, very interesting in terms of that game alone. And then, of course, Middlesex as well. I feel like this really is the group of death. It could go any way, but purely based off of that bowling lineup, I think Hampshire may just pip Surrey to the post. What are your thoughts in terms of the predictions?
Yeah, I think I'll agree with you in that the Somerset are definitely going to be up there in the top two. I think they've been across all formats. They've been about the Premier, them and Essex. They've been far and away above the Premier County the last couple of years. And with the players they've got this year and bringing in people like DeLanger, you can't see that changing. So they'll definitely be very, very shocked if they don't make that top two. I think that, as you say, the second spot is wide open. Mm-hmm. Surrey's batting lineup, it's just imposing. Like the names they've got up there, and well, I remember watching when Amla got his 300 against England and thinking no one's ever going to get him out. And I feel like whenever I just see his name on a team sheet, that's an instant memory that just comes straight back to me. And I was like, well, he's going to score 100. So if I think there's going to be some really big battles, I think that Hampshire-Surrey battle will be one of those. It's likely to be the battle for second place. Mm-hmm. I haven't mentioned Middlesex's batting too much. You mentioned guys like Robson. Peter Hanscombe coming in as an overseas for them. True. Another guy that's had a very strong... He had a strong Shield campaign this year, and he's got a point to prove because there's opportunities for Australian batsmen in their lineup. Obviously, some people have got it nailed down, but there's chances for people to come in at the top of the order in Australia. So if he comes over and has a very strong English summer, then, well, he's got a lot of motivation to do that. And so I'd chuck Middlesex in there too. But I imagine it will be between Surrey and Hampshire. So I think it's just going to be a question of whether Hampshire can get their runs from their top three. I think if the top three can deliver runs and then put you guys like Vince, well, whether Vince bats in that top three, I'm not sure whether him or Allsop will go at number three. It depends whether if you've got a platform for that strong Hampshire middle order and bowling attack, then I think they'll nip it. Otherwise, yeah, I think it's looking between those two. But it'll be nice to see Hampshire make Division One.
Of course, said like a proper Hampshire fan. I mean, I've already mentioned it with Warwickshire. I mean, we are always going to have a little bit of bias towards our side. But Group Two, the group of death, should be absolutely brilliant entertainment. It really should this season, and it could go anyway. It really could. But yep, those are our predictions then. So Somerset and Hampshire, that's interesting. And of course, we'll find out in due course. But last but by no means least, we have Group 3, which is Glamorgan, Kent, Lancashire, North Ants, Sussex and Yorkshire. And in terms of tomorrow's opening fixtures, we have North Ants taking on Kent at Wantage Road, Sussex taking on Lancashire at Old Trafford, and Yorkshire taking on Glamorgan at Headingley. So Alex, in terms of standout batsmen, I like the look of Group 3. I'm going to be honest, I'll start if I can in terms of standout batsmen, and I'll start with someone that Joe likes very, very much, Keaton Jennings. I think he could have a very, very good season for Lancs at the top of the order. You mentioned about Australia having some potential frailties in their batting lineup. Maybe there could be a return on the cards for Keaton Jennings at some point in an England shirt. Who knows? Personally, I quite like Burns and Sibley. I like that dynamic. But let's say one of those two gets injured or goes woefully out of form. Maybe there is a chance for Keaton Jennings to come back at some point. Then in terms of other batsmen, mentioned him right at the start, Joe Denley. I think he'll have a good campaign. Daniel Bell Drummond for Kent as well. Always a consistent batsman for the Spitfires. And then in terms of Yorkshire, I've gone Tom Coler-Cadmore and Gary Balance. Now, unfortunately, Gary Balance has been ruled out of tomorrow's opening game as a result of a concussion. But in terms of those two in Yorkshire's top order, I think they could be absolutely fantastic. But Alex, who do you go for? Who do you say are the standout batsmen in Group 3 heading into 2021?
I just think you've ticked off a lot of the big names there. So I'm excited to see how Jennings goes. I think he's had flashes of brilliance in his career so far, and there's definitely more to come. And there's always going to be opportunity for England. And if he can have a strong season for Lancashire, then that's good for them. I like the look of Kent's batting lineup this year. They've got, as you said, guys, as we talked about earlier, Denley's got an extended contract. Daniel Bell Drummond, he's someone that's always impressed me. I'm a fan of his. But you add in some of the young people like Cox, when he got that fantastic double ton in that huge, was it 420 odd run partnership last year. And I'm looking for someone like him to push on, have a big season. Because I think this group's wide open and Kent definitely have potential with possible runs to add to there. They've got a strong bowling lineup, so there's plenty of options in that Kent batting lineup to really make an impact this year. Going up to Sussex, I quite like they've got Travis Head in. I like the way he bats, and I think that's a very good signing for them. So excited to see how he goes over here in a hopefully full season of English cricket. One last one to chuck out there, Harry Brook up at Yorkshire. I think he's young talent. He's played quite a few games for them so far, and he's had some good returns, a couple of tons, and he'll be looking to push on this season. But you just add in the Yorkshire batting lineup, similar to the Surrey lineup. If everyone can play on a given day for that Yorkshire batting lineup, that's about as good as it gets, isn't it? So, yeah, I think runs will definitely be flowing in some of these games. One last one just to check is, of course, Marnus when he comes back to Glamorgan.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I don't believe he's over here for the start of the season, but I think he's coming over. I think he'll play for a good portion of it. I can't remember off the top of my head how much he's coming over, but if he can come over with Glamorgan in half a position, then that'll be a big change to them. And he scored millions of runs for them a couple of years ago. So, and he's one of the premier batsmen in the world these days. So,
yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. I did actually have Marnus as one of my young players to watch, technically. I know he's not ridiculously young, but I just wanted to put Marnus in there just to give him a quick shout out. But as you said, yeah, scored over 1,000 runs, didn't he, in Division 2 in 2019. Was an absolute revelation for the Welsh side. And in terms of just one final batsman, I'll also give a quick mention to Chris Cook as well. I think he goes under the radar. Good wicketkeeper as well for Glamorgan. In terms of standout bowlers then, Alex, who have you gone for in Group 3? There's a lot to choose from again. There's a lot of quality seamers in this group.
Yeah, so we've already talked about the quality seamers that Yorkshire have in guys like Hoad, Olivier. Exciting to see Dom Bess, how he goes up there. That's one which, well, Dom Bess is the name on every English cricket fan's lips at the moment after his ups and downs and ups and downs over the last 3 or 4 months. So I think it'll be, but he's clearly a man with a lot of potential. He can bat, he can bowl. And it'd be really nice to see him after what was a rough end to the India tour to come out and really start producing for Yorkshire straight away, especially after this. It's always weird when you move counties and to have gone from his home down Somerset to come out to Yorkshire. I think it's an exciting move for him. So that's one which I'll be, see how he goes early doors, watch with good interest. Ollie Robinson down at Sussex. He's someone who has definite potential to be in an England shirt in the future, and a full season bowling against quality batters like this, if he can turn it on, then he'll just be knocking down that door. Someone that I'm very excited to see is Cummins down at Kent. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very good overseas signing. Bowls quickly, bowls well. He'll be able to scare a few people. And you add, I'm a fan of, similar to like the Abbott Abbas move with Hampshire opening, with Hampshire's opening lineup, to have Cummins and Stevens, who they're pretty different bowlers. Mm-hmm. And we're about to go into the 70th year of Darren Stevens' career, whatever it is. And he's still, we know, like with Alistair Cook for Essex, you know Darren Stevens is going to deliver. He's going to come in there and he's going to take wickets. And to have him at one end operating with Cummins, I think that's going to be exciting. One last one to chuck out there, I'd say Parkinson up at Lancashire. Mm-hmm. Verdi, young spinner, impressed a lot of people. And hopefully he's learned a lot from 3 months out in Asia. And yeah, fingers crossed he can bring that forward. Lancashire have got a couple of other good young spinners. So who knows? Maybe it'll be the Chennai of England help all these young spinners come through. So yeah, plenty of people to watch out for.
There are. Would be funny. And of course, we need Joe on the podcast for that, to talk about the likes of Jack Morley, Tom Hartley as well, alongside Matt Parkinson. But yeah, we'll be interesting up at Lancs. And of course, we'll talk about them when we come to our predictions. But in terms of my stand-up bowlers, Alex, you've pretty much covered all of them. Of course, Darren Stevens, Mr. County Cricket. I think that he will have a good season this year. I really do. And as you said, that fire and ice almost of him and Miguel Cummins. And of course, complemented or supplemented by the likes of Harry Podmore and Matt Milnes. Then in terms of Yorkshire, Ben Code and Stephen Patterson, they're going to be very, very interesting. I think they can have some big seasons for Yorkshire. At Lancs, Saqib Mahmood, absolute gun. Simple as that, Saqib Mahmood always gets the job done. And then in terms of North Ants, again, they're an interesting one for me. And it's been a running theme in terms of my selections for today's podcast. But I think Ben Sanderson is going to be a very, very interesting customer in Group 3. Because you look at some of those oppositions, and yes, they have incredibly strong batting lineups, but Ben Sanderson just has the ability to almost make these incisions into opposition lineups. He just takes key wickets at pivotal moments. So for me, Ben Sanderson, he's also a standout bowler for me. And I think he'll really be the spearhead of Northants' bowling attack heading into 2021. But finally, before we move on to our predictions for the group itself, we do have to choose a young player to watch out for. Now, we've mentioned quite a few of them already. But Alex, if you had to just choose one to really go under the microscope on, who do you say is a young player to watch out for in Group 3?
So, yeah, as you say, we've mentioned quite a few because there's a lot of young talent here. So I'm going to pick a different name. I'm going to go for Callum Taylor at Glamorgan. So he only made his debut towards the end of the Bob Willis Trophy last year. And he got a ton on debut. I always like people that score centuries on debut.
And it's who doesn't?
Yeah, it's a nice way to make your mark and stick out. And he bowls quite a bit too. And hopefully there's going to be lots of opportunity for him in that Glamorgan team this year. So, yeah. Callum Taylor, one to watch hopefully in the next couple of seasons.
Absolutely. Now, as a spinner, again, this may seem a little bit biased. I've gone for Sussex and I've gone Jack Carson, the young Northern Irish off spinner. I think, again, he had a very, very good Bob Willis Trophy. And in a young Sussex lineup, he's going to have a lot of responsibility on his shoulders this season. He is their standout spinner, unless they're going to play Will Beer, which they could potentially at some point in this season. But I think Jack Carson in that group, you mentioned about Lancashire. I think that's going to be a real pivotal one. And of course, that is their first game of the season. At Old Trafford, there is just a little bit more purchase in the surface. So who knows? Jack Carson could be an interesting one to watch out for this season. And then, of course, Jordan Cox. Simple as that. I've already mentioned that incredible partnership with Jack Leaning on multiple occasions in today's podcast. But just before we end today's preview then, Alex, we have to go to the question. Who do you think will be the top two in Group 3?
So I think this is the hardest one to pick. I think there's just about a case for nearly anyone of this group making it through. There are some stronger teams. I think if you're being boring, you'd probably just say Yorkshire and Lancashire to win it on paper. Depends how much Lancashire can get out of Jimmy Anderson whenever he's played for them in the last couple of years. He's taken wickets for free. But it depends how much they're managing his workload. I don't think he's not going to play every single game, so that might hamper them. I mean, they've not got a bad team without him. I quite like Kent this year. I think they've got as we've mentioned earlier, they've got a strong batting lineup, and they've got enough bowlers to help them through it as well. They've got some young guys coming through. And as you say, Cox, very impressive young player. So if I had to pick two, I think it's the hardest one to choose, but I'd probably lean towards Yorkshire and Kent going through from this group. But it really could be, I would not be surprised if both of those were wrong when this comes to the end in a few months' time.
That's an interesting one. That wouldn't make you popular with Joe. So you think
you've got to have one or two rogue. Can't always just pick the Somersets and the Essex every time. You've got to have a couple of bolters.
Makes for some interesting content as well, I suppose. So you know what, Alex, I appreciate that. I appreciate the courage and the valour that you've shown with those selections. In terms of my ones, again, it is so, so difficult. It really is. I've gone Kent topping the group. I just like the look of their outfit. And you mentioned Miguel Cummins. I think that seam attack in particular could set them almost just slightly above the rest. And then, of course, they have a fantastic batting lineup with the likes of Bell Drummond, Denley, for example, Robinson, Cox, Leaning. I just think Kent on paper do look very, very good. Now, as a result of that, I have to choose one of the Roses counties. And because my Lancashire co-host is not here, I will go Lancashire. I think it's only fair. I think Lancs this season almost have a point to prove. They will think that this group is up for grabs. They were in Division 2. They're meant to be in Division 1 in 2020. Were unfortunately robbed of the chance due to the pandemic. And I think in 2021, that'll almost spur them on. They have got a point to prove. They want to be up there challenging for silverware. They want to be up there with the big boys again. I think that Lancs could finish in second or potentially even first in Group 3. I do think that is going to be a tremendously tight group. But Alex, that does bring us to an end to today's County Championship preview show. Just before we go, do you have anything to plug or promote? Any social media channels, for example?
Nope, nothing from me.
Well, that's absolutely fine then, mate. But yes, thank you very much for joining me on today's show. It's been an absolute pleasure, of course. You know you're always welcome back on, of course, when Joe comes back as well. But yeah, Alex, it's been a pleasure. I must admit, it's been very nice talking all things County Championship with you here on the
podcast today. Very much looking forward to it all kicking off in the next couple of days and finding out how wrong all these predictions are going to be.
That's the thing I worry about as well. They could be completely off, but of course we'll have to find out as the season progresses. But that is it from us two here at the County Cricket Podcast for today's episode. To all of the listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.